Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rod Gontos.
Your host, Rod Gontos, that can't sit on the chair. I'm trying to get comfortable there.
Come on. Well, you got so many people packed in here
today.
Yeah,
we got a full house today. I actually walked in and we haven't had a full house in a while. You know, nobody likes
you
this.
You push the parameters of the studio farther than anybody else tries here, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, it's like it just occurred to me. We need to find a clown school.
A clown school?
Okay. Yeah, we need to get a clown school to come in as guests.
I see.
And see how many people we can fit into the studio.
I see. Like, bring a little car.
Like a little clown car. They can leave the car outside. But let's pretend the studio is the clown car, and let's see how many people we can put in here. Okay, you think you got enough microphones for everybody?
Sure, what the heck.
No, but I mean, why not, right? Somebody who basically...
I'll give you 100 reasons why not.
Somebody who's been in corporate America for 40 years, you know, they...
Used to be packed into a cubicle.
You see, you're running with this now.
I'm running with it.
You're basically pursuing a corporate career.
I want to see how you're going to tie...
Put food on your table, you know.
I want to see how you're going to tie all this together, as you always do, somehow... This conversation with your guests. How are you going to connect the two?
The clowns with this?
Send in the clowns.
I don't know. You know what? It's a performance art, right? Boom. There you go. Right. But the thing is that, you know, you've been pursuing a career path. I mean, it could happen, right? You pursue a career path in corporate America for 40 years, and then you go, you know what? I had no fun doing that. I think I'm going to go to clown school.
He's really trying hard.
And I'm going to stand in front of all these kids. No, I'm just cultivating the idea. We're inviting a bunch of clients to the studio at some point. Okay. But moving back to today.
Today.
I'm not done yet. We do have a full house, right?
And because you missed the obvious. Because if you are a clown, then there's a ringmaster, and the ringmaster is the one who runs.
You're not the ringmaster.
And today you don't have the ringmasters; you have the toastmasters.
Oh, good one, Paul. Everybody's trying to get in on the act.
I figured that one out.
Everybody's trying to get in on the act. Okay, well, so yes, we do. We have a bunch of toastmasters in the house. And specifically from your neck of the woods, which I'm surprised that you didn't know about.
I should
this
have had
group.
Some pop the champagne, or something, you know, something.
They're from Mission Viejo, right? Mission Viejo down south Orange County. You're wrong.
We're going to have to get very close to the microphone.
Yeah, get close to the microphone.
She's very
people.
Far away from that microphone.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. See, he's very nice, and then he starts speaking very dictatorial.
Well, I know the Toastmasters. They tell you what to do. All right.
Okay. So you're done telling them, right?
Yes.
They can tell us now?
Okay. Go for it.
All right. So, what is the chapter? First of all, introduce yourselves, ladies and gent, that are in the studio with us. And
we'll start here and go around the clock.
And if anybody's listening to us, you can also be watching us on YouTube today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the camera's back up and running. Last week it was a fiasco and there was no camera. So, the camera's up and running. You can see us on OC Talk Radio's YouTube station. Are we on Facebook, too?
Yes.
We are on the OC Talk Radio Facebook page as well. And if you got any questions or you want to talk to any of our guests today, the number they can call, Paul, is?
949-330-7761. 949-330-7761. Operators standing by.
Standing by. Okay. So please introduce yourselves. Start with Susie.
Good morning. I'm Susie Stoyanovsky, and I am the founding president of OC Toasters in Mission Viejo.
OC Toasters?
OC Toasters. Short for Orange County.
OC Toasters in Mission Viejo, which is a part of Toastmasters?
Yes, it's a Toastmasters International chapter.
Okay. Correct. How long has that chapter been around?
8 years this month.
And you're a founding member?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, very cool. And had you had any involvement with Toastmasters before, or was that?
That's a great question. Actually, I had always wanted to join a Toastmasters club after I started my business with Mary Kay 24 years ago, and okay. I visited a couple of evening clubs. And by the end of the day, I was just kind of tired, and I didn't find a good fit, so I just kind of put it off and never did. And
right.
then a gentleman in our Chamber of Commerce decided he had been a Toastmaster for many years, and he wanted to start a club. And so he rallied up a group of us and founded Orange OC Toasters.
So do you guys meet at a different time of day? We meet
at 7 a.m. It's a great way to kick off your week on a Monday morning.
Is this unusual for Toastmasters?
No. Yeah, there's quite a few morning clubs.
So it's just that you happen to go to chapters that were at night prior, and it just didn't, you were too tired from your day.
It just wasn't a good fit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we should start one, and we should have it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. For a happy hour.
That would be really tough.
That would be a happy club.
Happy club. So that's awesome. And you had been in your profession with Mary Kay, sounds like a lot longer than you were involved with Toastmasters.
Yes, I've been involved with Mary Kay 24 years, Toastmasters for 8, and then I was in the medical field in nursing for 17 years prior to Mary Kay.
Actually, practicing medicine?
I wasn't practicing medicine. I was a medical assistant, nursing with doctors.
But you were in the service side of it, basically.
Yes, service side, correct.
So it's interesting because both of those, both Mary Kay and your nursing, you were in constant contact with people. You're in constant sort of sales, right? So to still at some point feel, I need to hone my skills or improve my delivery on how to talk to stuff or address things. Interesting, right? Because you would think after all that time, it's like, I got it down, it's in the bag, and I have it. So what made you want to do that?
Well, I love personal growth and self-improvement, and I think I'll go to my grave that way. I don't think I ever want to stop growing. And I love Toastmasters. It gives me an opportunity to meet a variety of people, different ages, mm-hmm. and to continue to improve myself. It has helped me in communication skills. So mm-hmm. it's not just public speaking in front of a group, but mm-hmm. also communicating with the people that you see every day and leadership skills.
Well, I want to come back around after we talk to the couple of other guests that we have in here today and find out, kind of in retrospect, looking back at where you were before you started this and now looking at it 8 years later, what have you learned? Because I will say, though, some people, when I told them we were going to have Toastmasters on the show today, are like, well, what does that have to do with aging? And I said, well, I think it's something, like, to your point, is like you're constantly learning. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain sensed for some people where that constant personal growth is something that you seek. It's not just, boy, I just need to do it. It actually is something that's rewarding on a personal level, right?
Exactly.
So that's what it is. I mean, this show is a journey of aging, and I think you just said it better than I could, is that at any point in your life, this personal growth as a goal, mm-hmm. is something that is very, very personal.
So let's continue the journey around the table.
So who else did you bring with you, Susie, today?
I brought my good friend, who I met through Toastmasters, Florence LaFranc and John Cipro.
And Florence and John, what do you guys do when you're not hanging around with
Susie? We'll start with Florence. What do you do?
Florence, what do you do? Okay.
Do you mean in the club or personally?
Well, no, personally and in the club. Yes, we like to
First of all, she has some kind of French accent, which is going to just absolutely drive me crazy here today. Okay. This sounds wonderful.
Well, this is actually one little problem why I actually joined Toastmaster as well, being able to speak in public with my accent and making sure that people will understand me. Mm-hmm. And that was something very important to me. I come from a background from marketing, corporate world, mm-hmm. which I hated.
how long did you do that?
I did this for about 10 years, wow. but my first love was actually farming and
farming
plants, okay. medicine. I went to medical school when I was in Paris, and I had a car accident, so I couldn't continue, but went to marketing. But I came back to my first love, which was medicine. And my background in medicine actually helped me go over several steps to be able to study herbal medicine. Mm-hmm. Today, I am a certified medicinal herbalist, which means I treat people with herbal medicine instead of drug when it's possible. Mm-hmm. I adjust their diet and their lifestyle.
Boy, my wife would love that. She just so believes in herbs and the power of plant-based medicine here.
You can try. I mean, you can always go back to drugs. And honestly, understand. I am not.
Say that again. I'm an old hippie from the 60s. I can always go back to drugs.
It didn't come the right way.
I'm sorry. Darn.
I put that on my accent. But it has been... So because I changed my path and because herbal medicine is so important to me, I needed to be able to give the message that I wanted to do to the public. And this is why I actually joined Toastmaster. I'm not a morning person. The first time I went there at 6:45 a.m., I thought I was crazy, literally. But the first meeting was very interesting. I really love the ambience and the people who are there. We all have the same goal, meaning being able to speak in public correctly and properly, more important for me. And Toastmaster actually brought me exactly what I was looking for as far as being able to speak. I was very shy. I mean, I would never be able to be in this booth with you today if I didn't have the training that I had.
Wow, there you go. All right, really. And the last guest here today is...
My name is John Spierko, and I'm the VP of PR for OC Toasters.
The VP of PR?
Yes.
The king of acronyms, the king of letters
the
here.
Prince of, the
prince. So for just for the club, I mean, for that, what do we call it, a club or a chapter? I'm sorry. Is it a chapter or a club?
What, how
do
it's, you a club. It's a club.
It's a club. It's a club, yeah. Okay. All right, and you do PR for them?
Yes.
And is that a full-time thing, or do you do other things?
I do other things.
What else do you do?
I'm a pre-sales engineer for local software companies, for enterprise software
companies. We've got to get you a little closer to that mic there.
So, okay. I work right now for a company called Quest Software, and I'm in the transition to another job for a company called ServiceNow, doing pre-sales engineering. Mm-hmm. So I go out and visit enterprise accounts, and we help them get into different softwares.
And are you, she's into drugs, you're into software.
So that's
right.
It.
Right. Well, it helps everybody, right? I mean, well, excuse me. I was at the city council yesterday night at 10:15, right? And I was asked to basically
protesting
show
something.
Up. Yes, I was protesting. I was protesting the toll road running through
San Clemente. Oh, don't get him started on that.
But I basically, what I was asked to come and speak about the potential negative impact relevant to seniors and retirees on home values and so forth, right? Interesting thing is, I had about 10 minutes of warning that they wanted me to come over there and speak, okay? And, of course, it made it on video, because somebody has live video these days, and anything you speak in public basically somehow gets filmed, right?
Yes.
I will tell you, I completely understand. Until Paul told me 2 years ago, hey, would you be interested in doing a radio show?
See?
I would have never... I mean, I wasn't necessarily shy in standing in front and addressing people, but it wasn't something I sought. It wasn't something that I looked forward to. I would have to be very, very prepared and, you know, hide behind a stack of papers or some sort of props in front of me.
Right.
Right? And so this has sort of been my club, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Your Toastmasters,
With Paul, because, and I think more and more so, it is important, regardless of age. In fact, probably more so today than it has been before, because there is no such thing as anything that's hidden. Anything that you speak, anything that you say, you know, you stutter on something because somebody surprises you, you can't think on your feet and present yourself well in public, somebody's got a live video thing running on you.
It's
on
preserved
on,
forever.
In front of Facebook.
Yeah.
So,
right, more important than ever. So I got to ask the question. I've never been to a Toastmaster meeting. Obviously, I've heard of Toastmasters. I can't
imagine. You're not going to get him to one at 6:45.
No, probably not. But what do you do there? Do you just all get together and after you sit down or whatever, somebody gets up and talks impromptu or what?
I want to know about a little bit more about the background of Toastmasters, though. Okay, I mean, I've heard of Toastmasters.
So maybe do that
order. It's a group of people that basically get together and get.
Where did it come from and what do you do?
Yeah, give us a little background.
Tell us those two things.
All right. Well, it started in the 20s, 1926, I believe, and a man named Smedley started Toastmasters in the basement of the YMCA in Santa Ana. So we are actually...
Wow.
I had no idea.
Local.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Local. We're in the Founders District, meaning we're a local club in Southern California. Now it's a worldwide organization all over the world. And he started this to help young men prepare for jobs and to become better speakers and communicators and leaders.
Okay. And it's spread throughout the world now?
Yep, it's spread throughout the world.
Is there a Toastmasters organization that helps fund this thing, push it out? Is there is that a for-profit thing or a non-profit?
Toastmasters International is a non-profit organization. They currently have their headquarters in Rancho Santa Margarita. Mm-hmm. They will be moving, I believe, in a few years to a different state, and I can't recall where that is.
Really?
And
sorry to hear that.
Because of land cost here.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it started, and it's all over the world now.
Yes.
What do you do?
What do we
do? If I came to a meeting, what would I see?
What's the format?
The format. We have a very structured format, but yet it's fun and welcoming.
We it's structured, but it's fun.
Well, you can have structure and
fun,
I
heard that every year I was in school.
Yeah, it's structured, but it's fun.
I have a ruler and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now it's like my nuns, years in nuns with
oh,
nuns.
Oh, boy. Go back to Catholic school. All right, so what do I do? I walk into... Walk me through. What am I going to see when I walk into this meeting? Kind of scared, not sure what I'm going to see. What do I see? What happens?
First time.
You're going to see a group of people greeting you with smiling faces and handshakes and welcoming you.
Okay.
And then they're going to explain a little bit of what to expect throughout the meeting. We have an agenda for everyone so everyone can follow along.
Okay.
We typically have 2 to 3 prepared speeches, mm-hmm. and then we have impromptu speeches where a table topic master will invite the audience to answer an impromptu question using a specific word of the day in their answer, and they can speak for 1 to 2 minutes. And there's an awe counter that counts all the awe filler words and all the any filler words that are used, and at the end of the meeting, there's a report on how many filler words each person used.
I was going to say, I get up and talk, and as your one guest said, she's trying to perfect her English, or the other guy does sales and everything, so we're trying to get better at talking. How do you make me better? Just by practicing, or do you give me feedback and instruction?
That's a great question. Why don't one of you answer it?
Okay, feedback, definitely. Every time you speak, you have an evaluator. Mm-hmm. Someone who's going to literally evaluate you. There, we use 2 books in the at Toastmaster. When you start as a new member, you have 1 book that is the Competent Communication Manual, mm-hmm. which you have 10 speeches with 10 different topics to work on. And it can go from, the first one is the icebreaker. It's really the first time you are going to speak.
Everybody needs the icebreaker in their arsenal.
The icebreaker, but it makes, it's great because... the members will learn who you are and know a little bit more about you. But there are about 10 different speeches going from researching your topic, your vocal variety, for example, getting to the point, how to say it, and you work on this. You have a mentor as well, someone who has been in the club for a while that can help you with this. And every time you give a speech, you will be evaluated, and we also vote as well on who has been the best speaker, depending on what, if you actually fulfill all the requirements of the speech that you are working on. So we actually are pretty close to each other as mm-hmm. members. We all want to grow. We all want to succeed. We all want to be able to speak in public. That's mm-hmm. why we are there, right? So we definitely support each other.
Because I could see this being intimidating. I'm going to get up and give a speech, and I'm going to flop.
It is.
And then you're going to tell me how badly I flopped, and I'm going to want to go home and cry,
especially
nobody's ever going to want to do this.
Especially in a room full of people that have been doing this in a very focused manner.
Yeah, right.
But that's the difference. This is where actually you're kind of wrong, because this is how I felt the first time, mm-hmm. and it's not how it works, because everybody supports each other. The good thing when you start having experience as a speaker is that you can see what is wrong with another person. You can give your feedback. We are not, and we never ever said to anyone, that was bad, that was crap.
Get out of here.
Absolutely.
You suck.
That's not what we do. We are all there to learn, and we help each other with it.
All right. So
it's called the sandwich approach of evaluating.
Yes.
We say what they did well and where improvement could be made.
So, all right, we'll go to the back of the room here. So what did you get out of being there, and how long have you been doing this?
I've been there for a year now, mm-hmm. and I started last July. And my reason to go there originally was just to get better at the sales position I was doing. So mm-hmm. I was doing more of the technical role, and how do I become more of a business person, better at mm-hmm. communicating in general.
Mm-hmm.
And just to go back a little bit on what Florence was saying, we brought our whole sales team in there last meeting. So there were 7 people that came in from my sales team to visit. And one of the things they all left with was it was so comfortable to get up and speak. We had about half of them speak. And they were just so comfortable getting up because it was such a supportive environment.
Because that's not something most people feel comfortable doing. I'm not sure I feel good. As much as I talk in the radio, I don't know, to get in front of a crowd, suddenly it changes and you get intimidated.
You hide behind the mic? Is that what you're telling
me? I do. I only, nobody ever sees me here. As long as I can't see
me. Like a photographer behind the camera,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Maybe.
That's interesting, though, John. I mean, if you would think that in sales environments, especially in companies that are sales driven, that you would have this built in, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, the difference may be where if it's happening inside the company, the emphasis is on results rather than improvement.
Right.
It's that quarterly result. It's the how many closers do you have had? What do you ever you need to shorten the time frame versus actually just improving skill wise? Right.
Right. Right. And this is where it really comes in. Is the salespeople are constantly looking to build on that base that they work from. And public speaking is one that everybody just, there's so much room for improvement no matter how good you are. Yeah. I mean, until you're Bill Gates or one of the great communicators in the world, Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
Right. Until you're that, you still have room for improvement.
Well, I had an opportunity to sit in on a talk with Steve Wynn at the last Hospitality Design Expo in Vegas. And the man's losing his sight. He's got a gentleman with him, a Roger, and I can't remember what his last name is, but he's head of design. And they have a very close relationship to the point where they've almost got their walk down where, you know, he puts his hand on his shoulder like he's hugging him like a friend, yeah, right. But he's guiding him up the stage and kind of stuff like that. And there was – he had the whole room of – it literally was sit down on the floor again with your back against the wall room. It was standing room only. Had everybody mesmerized because of his way – about it. Because
delivery.
Excuse me. Because the other thing I was going to say is, and maybe you guys can speak to this, first impression might be, well, I'm going to go through a system. I'm going to go through Toastmasters. It's going to tell me how to speak. It's going to tell me the tricks of basically doing that public speaking component. But I'm going to lose my individual personality in the process.
I'm just going to sound like a DJ here. Well, Hi, how are you?
It's taught, right?
Right.
I mean, and I have people that range everywhere from painters to people that do things in a very instinctive manner and feel that maybe having rigidity, and I was one of those people, having rigidity actually would steal away or rob away from that sort of uniqueness of that creative outlet, right?
But I know,
I'll just say for me, later on in life, I realized that was completely bonkers. That was really, really, really baseless, right? I mean, it in fact, if anything, it amplifies your ability.
To that
personality
exactly,
out.
Yeah.
It just, you do it with the shored up by a structure.
Yeah, that's such a good
skills.
Point. We just had a guest speaker this week at Lace Training. Last week we did our Lace Training, which is where all the clubs get together and do a training.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a speaker, Daniel Midson, was there. He was a keynote. And one of the things he said you really got to get to is your authentic self.
Yes.
And he said, you know, the biggest thing you'll get with early speakers is they get up there, I am Speaker Man. And they change their whole persona, which kind of takes away right away. You get that vibe from them and they lose credibility.
And I'm going to emphasize that because this, what we're doing today, this internet radio, this live podcasting is a form in my mind of social media. And social media more than ever wants real. That's why we'll accept the shaky camera in YouTube. That's why we'll accept the bad grammar in Twitter or whatever.
Authenticity and integrity.
Authenticity.
In the
be
message,
real.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be perfect anymore. And in fact, if it's too perfect or polished, sometimes we don't think it's real. The DJ voice I had to learn when I really was a DJ back in the old days that I perfected endlessly trying to get, and that I couldn't get hired unless I sounded like that. Either WMYK, K94. If I couldn't do that kind of stuff, that today is laughed at. And not sought out. So we're not looking for the perfect speaker. Like in the 20s, there was a kind of sound, the William Jennings Bryan,
right.
You know, elocution where you pronounce everything perfectly. I don't think people are looking for that. So how have you adapted? Toastmasters must have adapted through the years and changed it. Because I'll bet in the 20s
I would say even in the 8 years, right, Susie, that you've been in there. Just with the advance of the internet, the form of communication, I mean, everything used to be written format, and more now it's video content, it's audio, it's absorb it very quickly. I don't want to sit down and read it,
right?
So in an environment where everybody is loosey-goosey, like Paul is saying, right? I would think that's actually even more needed. What you guys are doing, right?
And they are changing the program from the competent leadership path and the competent communication path to a whole new thing that they're developing, which will be probably rolled out within a year, and it's called Pathways. And it hits on exactly what you're talking about, where people have changed so much and everything is changing that there's going to be several paths that people can take, not just communication.
No
and
one
leadership.
Set path of.
Exactly. So you don't have to go through this book to do this book and so forth. I don't know that much about it yet because it hasn't been rolled out, but it sounds very interesting and intriguing, and I think it will even attract more people.
Well, and it sounds responsive to the times, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What, just on average, how many members do you guys have in, the in your club?
Currently, we are at 9 members.
Okay. If I may, age range?
I'm not quite sure how young our youngest one is, but I'm guessing he's probably in his early 20s.
Okay.
And our oldest one just turned 75.
Wow. So that's still quite a range.
Yeah, quite a range.
So does that? I would think, because we've talked about this before, having sort of people that mentor each other across those generational kind of divide, that there's sort of an added benefit, right? That's the cross-generational stuff that happened. Have you guys experienced any of that in your club?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I think the more mature people can definitely mentor the younger ones, and I think that the mature people can learn from the younger ones how to
relax. She's using
relax
the word mature
bit.
For old, like me. Old people can help young people.
I would think, you know, at 61, this is how I have to deal with you.
Old.
If we're still doing this show 10 years from now, I'm
really old. I'd be super old. How? Oh, I'm knocking stuff over.
You're knocking stuff over.
I'm getting
there you
excited
go.
Here.
Yep. Paul's falling down.
What? I would think there'd be a very big disconnect between the way the 20-year-old talks, having watched TV and internet and everything else, versus the 75-year-old who probably was taught more classic elocution, pronunciation, English, grammar, speaking, you know, all the stuff that was drilled into me when I was in Catholic
school. Like Archie Bunker?
No, I'm just saying that there's more of a street talk that people talk today. They don't, just like they write, they don't have this formal way of presenting themselves anymore. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's different.
That's correct, and we do help the younger people talk a little better.
Definitely. We've seen some of the biggest improvements there. That's really
well, you know, it's like, you know, it could be like, you know, well, maybe like,
no way.
You know, no way.
Filler words.
Yeah.
Yeah. They use a lot of filler words, and so we help them eliminate those.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be
and
huge.
Do they do that? Are they receptive to that? Or
yes. Oh, believe it or not, they are. I think the ones that actually show up at Toastmasters are looking for more, looking for self-improvement, so they are receptive.
So there's an awareness already there that I need to better
yes.
my presence. Okay.
I edit 20-some shows here that we produce, all business people, all successful people, and the number of filler words as they're trying to think of the next thought. You know, so, it's like, yeah. You know, could be, oh, my goodness.
So is my favorite. I couldn't believe how many I had when I first went there. I think I broke a record.
And now he's doing PR.
That's around 25 so's.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just edited a show the other day. I must have had 25. So everybody finds a word that they spit out while they are thinking of what else to say.
So I want to talk about that when we come back. I think
okay.
We take a break.
Yes.
But when we come back, I want to talk about that because it's not just about speaking, right? It's also about what mentally is happening in your head while you're doing it.
Exactly.
Right? And how do you train that muscle?
I have a really good thought on that one. You later.
Okay, so we'll take a break if Paul can find his.
Yes, I'm ready.
There.
I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm
let's
ready
go here. For a break, and we'll come back with our guests.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
All right, back to our discussion with the Toastmasters. So are they all going to give a talk here? Are they going to give an example of a...
Well, before we went on the break, I asked, I kind of posted...
Put them on the spot here, give them a toss-up topic here.
Well, you know what? I'll open it up. Anybody who's watching us or is listening to us, if you have a topic...
This is like improv.
If you want to call in with a topic... We'll have somebody basically pick it up and give us a couple of moments on it. It could be a topic on anything.
Do you guys do that? I mean, you're saying there's a formal talk and then instant talks or whatever you call them. So somebody's just going to throw out a topic and say, talk about Donald Trump, talk about world affairs, talk about peanut butter or something.
More or less, the table topic master has prepared questions that they're going to throw out to the audience, and the audience, they'll choose one person, and they'll have a minute or two to answer that question. It could be about anything.
So I'm going to share something that's really funny. A couple of years ago, we were talking about where we were from, right? And I said I was from San Clemente. A couple of years ago, I kind of got a little tired of... We had had a few very divisive elections in town. And what was... To begin with, a town that was very connected, very involved, you know, very reaching to each one another, was starting to erode. And so I went and I set up, and one of the things that was being lost is this ability to just reach out to people and ask something and kind of get a positive, or not necessarily, if not positive, but a constructive insight into how to do something or find something. And so I set up a page on Facebook called What Do You Think, San Clemente? And having been online since 1994, I set up 10 guidelines for posting on that page, right? Everything from, you know, don't troll people, don't flame people, you know, all this stuff. But one of the things that we put on there, and I got so much ribbing for it for so long, nobody does it anymore, about the fact that every topic, that every thread that had to be posted on there had to have some form of a question. And you know, I got everything from, oh, so it's like Jeopardy. Oh, you're like Alex Trebek. You know, I got everything, right? But what I think it does, and I think this is what I'm hearing, is that when you have a prepared question like that, or you form it in the form of pose it in the form of a question, it encourages dialogue and exchange.
Correct.
Right? From which that dialogue and exchange, something hopefully positive comes out. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So now, before the break... We'll use that as an example. Okay, here's a topic, right? You're on the spot. You haven't really prepared to answer it. So I would think that equally important to your speaking and delivery style improvements and self-growth is also your ability to think on the spot, right? To have the mental muscle.
Yes.
So what do you guys do for that? How is that addressed in Toastmaster?
Well, that's the reason for table topics, in order to think on your feet, to be able to stand up and deliver. We do have the opportunity that if you can't answer that question just because it doesn't apply to you or you know nothing about it, you can talk about something entirely different. But it's still thinking on your feet, having to come up with something immediately.
And not having that, what we were talking about before the break, the so,
right.
And the and hold on, give me a minute, kind
right.
of thing, right?
It's like a president when you answer the question. They don't talk anything about what was just asked, but they'll go for 2 minutes.
Don't get them started.
I worked with politicians many years ago. I did do PR for Marine Reagan and some other people along the way through the years. And one of the things that they all do is have the stump speech, the prepared remarks. So whatever you're asked, you quickly pivot to what you know.
Right.
Can you tell me about the farm bill? Yes, it's a lot like our taxation plan here, blah, 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 blah.
Let me tell you about that.
Yeah, and they just launch it. So even when they're tired or when they're sleepy or they're caught off guard, they don't sound stupid. They've always got
okay, but I'm going to... But again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. How much of that is even acceptable anymore? Because have we gotten to a certain level of cynicalness in society that when somebody communicates with us in that manner, when they're just filling in fluff, okay, that basically becomes negatively reflective on them?
Most politicians, that was why Donald Trump, I didn't vote for him, but that's what I think he came across as real and honest. People like that he wasn't prepared. He didn't say perfectly scripted stuff. He just spoke, and bluntly, and people like that about him.
Yeah.
So do you think speaking styles are changing and evolving?
Is it style or substance, or both?
Maybe a little bit of both.
It's definitely the filler words, going back to them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that your worst thing about filler words is it takes power from your speech, right? You're unsure of yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think that confidence still goes a long way, and I think that's been like that for a long time. Speaking like Orson Welles, right? Speaking like that, you could say anything, and you're going to believe
as
it.
As long as it's delivered with confidence, I don't really care what you're saying. Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that sometimes.
And I find when I edit these shows out, this one won't need any editing because there's no filler words yet today. But when I do edit these, I find that the filler words, when you take them out, it focuses the conversation too.
Yep.
The filler words create confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, they take away power. That's the way somebody described it to me. I thought that was a great evaluation of that.
Yeah.
Well, and some people that basically don't understand that actually dramatically placed pauses and timing in the delivery, it's not just about filling every minute with verbiage, right?
My father's smiling somewhere from heaven because that was his whole thing. My father was an executive for Chrysler Corporation. He grew up really poor in the Depression, in the ghetto, and then worked his way up from the factory floor to be an executive with Chrysler Corporation back in the days when you could do that, and became a vice president. And one of the things he was called on to do at dealer meetings or conventions or whatnot was get up and give a speech. He had never learned to speak at all. So he would go watch other speakers. I don't know if he ever joined Toastmasters, but I know that he put a great deal of effort into it. And when I heard him speak a couple of times, to me it sounded kind of fake. It had the kind of, how are you? And it had that very sound. But that's what he emulated.
You make it, huh?
Yeah, right. And he was pretty good at it, but it wasn't the kind of, it was more like a politician speaking. It had a sound to it. It didn't sound like his voice.
Yeah. What do you guys do, Susie? Maybe this is for you because of being a founding member. What do you guys do to grow the club or to put, I mean, obviously you're doing it here kind of by putting the message out, but under normal conditions, typically for Toastmaster, maybe it's all
the vice president of PR.
Vice president of PR. You know what are normal steps? Go out to service clubs? Do you just do it?
Stand on the street and talk to people?
Yeah, you're
right. It's funny. We're at 9 members right now, which is a low point. Kind of red alert. Mm-hmm. Red alert. We'd like to be up around 20. Mm-hmm. So we had a meeting about that yesterday, and kind of brainstorming and ideas and how we get better. And really what it is bringing more guests into the club. Mm-hmm. So we do open houses. We had a meeting at DeLisi's. We had a special guest speaker in that brings people in. And he talked about the elevator pitch, which is a pretty popular speech for everybody.
Right.
And then we're experimenting with some new things, cross-posting with different clubs that would benefit. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things I'm trying to tap into is the Orange County entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. There's about 1,500 startups in Orange County, and they all need to – this is their number one skill that they need.
Right, because most of them are engineers or some other geek, and they've created some gizmo, and now they're going to go out and talk to investors initially and then towards other people.
I was wondering, is similar to Kiwanis, for example, or Rotary, right? Some of those service organizations that are cultivating personal growth, but in the terms of giving, right? Not so much maybe development of personal skills. But they have, for example, outreach to schools. Mm. And I'm kind of coming full circle to what Paul was saying, which is that, a lot of young people, they're playing fast and loose with the language. They're playing fast and loose with presentations. So, you know,
But
that's not necessarily true. I think it depends where.
My father felt very embarrassed his whole life that he barely graduated high school and never went to college. He always hid that fact as he rose up the ranks. So he was always trying to aspire to sound like he was educated. Mm-hmm. He was always trying to sound like other people so that nobody would realize
We do have discrimination. Let's just face it. We do have discrimination in society relevant to how you sound.
Yes.
How you enunciate. Right? That confidence coming through your words, right? And it is such a powerful skill, and I absolutely believe it's even more powerful skill today probably than it was before.
But we grew up in a world
with the lack of classical education for a lot of people.
Where we watch rappers and we watch other people and they almost want to talk down that kind of, if you sound too educated, people don't aspire to sound like that anymore. Even educated people want to sound dumb. Donald Trump is well educated, but he doesn't come across that way. He comes across like a regular Joe. And I think that was the power of the way he talks. Well, God knows he didn't grow up a regular Joe, and he wasn't educated a regular Joe.
I guess what I'm saying is maybe, just a thought, maybe it's worth approaching kids in schools. Because I have my nephew just graduated middle school. It's not
valedictorian.
Salutatorian. Thank you.
Salutatorian for middle school.
Okay. He stood up and he gave a speech.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. It was like friggin' stand-up comedy. I mean, honest to God, the kid was and he didn't share it with anybody other than one teacher. Mm-hmm. And his desire. Now the only thing he did wrong is he didn't engage the audience.
Right.
He did the pauses and everything, but he was buried in his paper. Right.
Right.
I think where that spark came in was from a creative writing class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? But even see writing. That's one of my arguments. I don't think kids today value good writing or good speaking skills.
Communication in general.
They don't have anybody to emulate. Watch the people who are successful, and they seem like they can barely talk
and
or write.
Here's a smart kid that basically had the ability to actually do a creative writing class.
Right.
Okay? And it triggered something. And it helped him to write. And here's his writing then basically taking on his personality, reflective through his writing in a speaking, right? Mm-hmm. He could benefit from fine-tuning the speaking, but he's already halfway there in terms of composition and content, mm-hmm. right? And he's fast. He's on his feet, you know, his delivery. He's looking for that comic connection, all this stuff, timing. I think that may be an interesting place to go because, if anything, one could lead to the other. Now, it could be through an English class of a high school, for example, or it could be where it's a...
Do they have public speaking anymore in schools?
No, but that's my point. I think it's not so much that there's no interest. I think there are some people that would groove, call them a little nerdy maybe, that will groove on developing that as a skill set in even the high school or middle school.
I had a public speaking class in middle school way back. We had to stand up and give speeches and stuff and learn to talk in public. Yeah. I'll tell you the group that could benefit from it. We're doing...
your guests?
All my hosts. We have 20 hosts here. They're all business people.
There you go. That's how you're going to grow your membership.
They all come in here, and they want to communicate verbally.
That might be one of the pathways Susie was talking about. Maybe there is a radio show announcer. We know there's comedians that have come out of Toastmasters.
There you go. Well, seriously, you should talk to Charlie Wright, who does a show here, a very good show on strategic investments, very in-the-weeds topic. He talks about alternative hedge funds and mutual funds and very deep into this topic. It's not something for everybody. Really high-level investment kind of stuff. He talks about strategies. And I said from the beginning he was a natural at doing this medium. He said, I didn't become that way. He said, I was with Toastmasters for years. I don't know what chapter he went to or what club he belonged
to.
But he found his voice through Toastmasters. And I found myself, can I be honest with you, a little bit going, Toastmasters. Oh, isn't it just kind of like some old-fashioned thing that nobody does?
But that's exactly.
I don't know.
That's
Toastmasters exactly seems hip and relevant today. Is that just me or is that?
I don't know. My 18-year-old son just graduated and he's coming next meeting.
There you go.
So
okay.
He's interested in it and he knows. He just did his Eagle presentation. He was up there in front of 125 people, and I said you should come and get rid of some of those filler words that you had out there. He's definitely into it and wants it. Likes the stage.
If it's not speaking but throwdown, right? All of a sudden, you got kids that are interested, right?
Yeah, right.
It's not Bobby Flay, it's Toastmaster, but you know people are interested. I think probably. I'm putting it out there for you guys, but how many shows do you have here? 20
some
shows.
20 shows, and obviously we some start and don't succeed. And if they don't succeed, part of it is because they don't feel comfortable doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they do listen to themselves and go, yikes, I sound terrible, mostly because of filler words.
Yeah, one of the things, the unexpected things that I got too, and it was funny because I heard Susie coaching somebody on this a couple meetings ago, is you get to aim for the middle. So you have a sample audience from Orange County here,
mm-hmm.
and we get one person on the evaluation saying, hey, you didn't use your hands enough, and the other one saying you used your hands too much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you get to aim for the middle,
right.
and it really gives you good feedback, and you're like, well, certain people are going to hate it, and certain people are going to love it, so you kind of, and then the next speech, you can kind of tailor that a little bit and use my hands less and see if I hit more of the middle.
I was a child of the 50s and 60s, and even more so my parents' generation, the World War II generation, or even their grandfather's generation, there was the art of writing. and a great deal of practice went into getting the long hand and the perfect script. I look at letters I found, a couple letters that have survived from my grandparents, and they're very beautiful things. They valued that writing. Similarly, I think you've got to find a way to get people to value good speaking.
Mm-hmm. But you know, one thing about public speaking, I think it, when you just gave the example of people coming here to your show and listening to themselves later on. But let's just say you have someone who comes to talk to you and has a perfect speech with no filler words, and you have someone else coming for exactly the same subject with all these filler words, and thinking, who are you going to believe the most? Who is going to be the one that you will trust?
No question.
Credibilities, absolutely.
Credibilities, yeah.
And ability to hear it. It becomes annoying. You're focusing on their fidgeting. You're focusing on the filler words and not on the substance of what they're saying.
Correct.
Not just believe. I think, to your point, yes, you don't sound sure, and it, maybe you're not as confident and believable, but I just find it just distracting.
Yeah.
Just distracting.
You mean the fidgeting or
the filler words?
The filler words, yeah. It is very distracting.
Yeah, and to have somebody call it out is great. A lot of, like when I went first, when I had no clue that I was that bad.
So do you guys just so share?
You just did it there.
Do you guys share?
Calling it out.
Do you guys share the feedback verbally, or do you actually also videotape it or something?
Both.
So you can also see.
Yes.
So why wouldn't everybody want to go through Toastmasters?
I know.
It's
what's going
free.
On?
It's a safe environment to practice something.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Is
it free?
It's not free.
He tried to sneak that in there. Did you know?
Oh, for me, it's free. I'm going to get a free membership. All right. No,
especially if you bring hosts that need
a free first
but
visit.
It's next to free.
What is it? What's it called?
You can visit for free. It's $45 every 6 months. So it's reasonable.
Nothing.
That's international
that's
dues.
That's
and then
free.
You pay for your couple of manuals, $20 to get started. But really reasonable.
If you guys, whoever's listening, if you think you need your $4 coffee each morning at Starbucks,
yes,
when you go order that, if you're saying and I'm not sure, now it may be because you're not awake yet and you need your caffeine, but chances are it's more than that. Check into Toastmasters. That's ridiculous. $45 every 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
What else do you pay that little for anymore these days? Right?
Exactly.
Nothing. So it's free. It's basically free.
Yeah.
And you can go
phenomenal. That's
among
amazing.
Peers. We're all into this peer-to-peer learning these days. People join peer groups. They join networking groups. They join all these other things to try and learn from one another here and share ideas. Why not get better at speaking?
Another great opportunity, too, for entrepreneurs, business people, salespeople. If they come and join a Toastmasters club, they get to practice their presentations as one of their speeches and get critiqued
cool.
on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before so you have to get up and give it at the shareholders meeting or in front of your boss or at the next sales call.
Yeah, if your friends are going to cut it to shreds, imagine what non-friends are going to do to you.
Yeah, right.
But again, I say, especially with that cost impact, right, or lack of it, really, right, even more than why to try to incorporate this stuff into school level.
Yeah.
Or whether it's an after-school thing activity or not. But, oh my gosh, I mean.
They do have special clubs for students. Our club is an adult club, so you have to be 18 or older to join a regular Toastmasters club.
Right.
But any Toastmaster can start a student club. And I considered it because my grandson, who's going into eighth grade, is very much like, I believe you said, your nephew.
My nephew, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He has a comic thing, and he's great. But he talks a little too fast, and if he could slow that down, his delivery is great. I would love to see him in a Toastmasters
club. If you make an impact in a handful, oh my gosh, I mean, what a difference. They will probably see it themselves. I think that confidence, anybody, whether you're a child or not, whether you're thinking you're cool for not speaking properly or not, I think there is, if you really wanted to admit it, an appreciation and a respect for people that actually enunciate and deliver and communicate clearly.
Mm-hmm. No question
right?
about it.
You see it, whether it's a cartoon character that's got somebody's engaging them, whether it's that reporter at 10 o'clock at night, whether it's a comedian.
Comedians are very structured.
Right?
People think anybody can get up and do it. I worked with comedians through the years when I was an entertainment publicist. very, very hard skill. And it takes, they say, 3 to 5 years out on the circuit.
Yeah, we have a track for that.
Do you?
Yeah, for comedians.
See, that would be power. I was going to say, do you have tracks for other things? You know, track for rappers. That,
a
rapping
fun.
Is
could
a very...
Could have just asked us to learn how to rap properly.
Rapping is not an easy skill to get that kind of rhyme and that meter
you
down.
You sound so much like you're from Orange County. statement would never fly. It could get you shot in Long
Come
Beach.
Come on, a statement for rap. A track for rapping. Track for comedy, clearly. Comedians is a learned skill to stand up and to time it, to get the punch right. Punchline. Just right.
But all joking aside, even with rap, even with rap, there's a structure. I mean, if you really listen to
real
rap,
big structure.
It's a structure. It's a content delivery that's pretty sophisticated. It's just done in a very colloquial manner.
It's communication,
It's very structured, and it's something you have to learn that structure and how to deliver it and how to do it is not easy. Certainly, lawyers and other people have to get up and argue cases.
SoCal Rap Masters.
I like that.
We have to move it up a little bit further up the county.
Oh, okay. And that's how you could trick kids into doing. They may not want to learn how to give a speech, but they may learn how to be a comedian.
I'm sorry, I just visualized Vanilla Ice basically giving a class.
Oh, back to the pants, right?
Right. MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
I think there are other ways to communicate that are people learning how to do it. And you could benefit them if they thought of it as something other than just a bunch of business people practicing business speeches.
Yes.
It isn't just business people, exactly. It's people, we have retirees that still want personal growth. They want to have friends. Mm-hmm. They come for many reasons. And I was just thinking, as you were talking about the rappers and comedy and so forth, We've also had people come and go, and I've seen at some of the competitions and so forth, people with pretty bad speech impediments that they've had to suffer through and be teased all their lives, and they work through it, and stutterers, and they work through it. So it can help so many people.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many reasons.
Susie, the middle school graduating class.
Excuse me.
I'm getting choked up here. I have a tickle in my throat for some reason all day, so I apologize. But my nephew did his speech, and then the valedictorian did his speech. And the valedictorian speech was a little bit longer. It was a little bit more, I would say, traditional. But what was great is that that kid, actually exactly to your point, had issues with public speaking and speech impediments, and for him to stand there and be able to deliver that in that capacity said volumes.
Right.
So everything, you know, benchmarking everything based on that person's ability and their personal growth, volumes. We're gonna run out of time. I want to ask you guys the same question. You've been involved in 8 years. How long have you been involved?
Since October 2015.
So a couple of years.
Almost,
And
1 year.
1 year. What is, if you had to take one thing from your time at Toastmasters, what would you say is that one thing that you cherish the most, or you've gained most, or you value the most?
I think confidence in speaking. I was one of those kids that did have a speech impediment when I was a kid, and I got teased. And I outgrew it, but I was shy when I outgrew it, so I spoke softly and I wasn't confident. And my business has helped me gain confidence, obviously. But being in Toastmasters has really helped me and speak, you know, find my voice and be able to deliver it and be who I am.
Well, it's wonderful. I would have never known that you had a speech impediment growing up. That's fantastic.
Well, I'm going to say the exact same thing. It is confidence, because with my accent, it was kind of difficult for me to speak in public. I would never do it. But what I learned with Toastmasters is, like, I should not be scared of doing it, and that I am actually good at doing this. Mm-hmm. So confidence, definitely.
And I will share. I'll share this with you. A friend of mine or an acquaintance, I should say, we knew, my wife and I knew for a number of years. She was French. And she actually made a career out of a speaker series.
See? Mm-hmm.
With the French accent very much not dominating, but very much present. Mm-hmm. And actually part of the differentiation.
I was thinking the same thing. Rather than being a detriment, I think it's a positive if you learn to use it properly, because people find it a very French accent for most of us is a very appealing sound.
Well, right. I tried myself to get rid of it. I took accent reduction. It doesn't go anywhere.
No, don't get rid of that.
Personal acceptance, step number one, right?
Yeah.
John?
The biggest thing I got out of it was really demystifying how I was, right? Because you're wondering how you are. I'm speaking in front of customers all the time, and I'm just like, man, am I hitting the note or not? And to get that feedback to me was so valuable, and to know, hey, you're not great at this. You got a lot of room for improvement, and know where those areas are. And one of the guys that I listened to is a great public speaker. He said, when you really know is when you're having a conversation with your audience. You know what they're saying, even though they're not speaking. And I'm not there yet. But that's kind of what I'm aspiring to is, you know, I know what they're thinking without having to get it written down in an eval. For now, I'm just going to keep getting those evals and improving on
this. This is a conversational medium. And more of social media is a conversational medium. YouTube and podcasts and all this stuff. You have to learn to converse with people, which means how do you convey what you're saying, and then how do you listen and react to that?
Well, and it's an art. It's an opportunity, again, with the content, especially on social media, being more and more driven by video content and audio content.
Yes.
I think there's an opportunity for those that are in positions where they could better guide the quality of that content to engage with people, because it's not your point. Oh, this isn't this like where a group of people get together next to this, you know, YMCA under in the basement of the YMCA in Santa Ana,
right?
And basically talk to one another, and they're all old, and you know, half of them are retired, and the other ones are trying to find a job or whatever. When in fact, everybody who's communicating, the frequency of communication has increased, and I think unavoidably, if you have any kind of self-consciousness or awareness, you're going to look at your videos and go, oh, my God, I look horrible.
Right. I can do better.
Everything from, my God, the camera adds 10 pounds, to I sound like, you know, Kermit the Frog, and I didn't really intend to.
And can I add one other thing that you bring up all the time? One of the things you always talk about from doing this show now for a couple of years, we don't talk anymore.
We don't talk anymore.
As a society, we don't sit up all night
without
and
an
talk.
Agenda or a to-do list. We don't just sit down like we just did here and just let the conversation take you where it is and feel confident enough to have that exchange and not shy away and like, oh, I don't know if I can do that.
Can I contribute?
I'm intimidated by that exercise.
So without that practice, most of us don't speak very well anymore. We don't. We just don't practice.
I'm so glad you said very well instead of good. That would have been really embarrassing.
It would just be good. We don't speak good, no. We don't do that goodness stuff,
We can get gooder.
We can get gooder. And that's not what you're going to hear him say in this chapter. But how do people find out about your chapter or your club?
They find out. They can go to octoasters.com. That's our website.
And or the new ocwrappers.com.
Yeah.
Toast wrappers.
John's going to tell you about our social media sites, how they can go.
John?
Yeah, we're on Twitter on OC Toasters. We're also on Facebook on OC Toasters. And we're also Meetup is another one that we're on.
Meetup.
And they're the main ones.
Yeah.
So Meetup is the one where we have most of our guests come in on, because that gives you all the instructions on how to get there and the times and
great
what the content's
we do
be.
Meetups for podcasters here.
And we'll post a picture of everybody in the studio here, and when the video comes, when we'll have it pretty quickly here on YouTube. We'll post some of those on there, John. So if you send me the content, then we're more than happy to add that into the subject header.
Okay.
And
you've given me a new face for Toastmasters here. It's everybody. It's everybody can benefit from this, from kids to old people like me.
I'm just going to say, because you're Irish,
yes.
It's not that kind of toast. So when you go, you know.
You know what's funny about being Irish, though? I grew up listening to talkers. I am a talker by definition. Everybody in my family was a talker. The nuns asked my mother.
I'm sitting here in shock and awe, actually.
At the bar.
The nuns asked my mother if I talked in my sleep. I talked incessantly. It's because I was around people that talked incessantly. So it came naturally to me. But I think a lot of people today don't experience that. We don't sit at the dinner table and talk. We don't sit with our friends and talk. We watch a device, even if we are talking. We're not paying attention to them. So why do we think we're good at communicating when we never practice?
Well, and you enjoy talking, right? I think a lot of people can say that I enjoy the exchange with people. I enjoy talking. I enjoy socializing, right? If you enjoy it, then be the best you can be at it.
Get better at it.
Yep.
Thank you guys for being here, and we will look forward to sharing the information with everybody. Come on back anytime you like and talk at us.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. How do they reach Rad?
You can reach me at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantos, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com. Or you can call me at 949-212-8299. Do not abuse the cell phone number. And look for us at The Rad Life on social media, on Facebook. We also have, it's getting updated right now with all our shows. We have almost like 200 hours of shows.
Wow.
Right. On Podbean, and we'll share that too on, use Facebook as the main way to communicate with us if you can on the right.
And you know what they're going to do now? They're going to take those episodes of Toastmasters and give them to people as examples of what they should shoot for.
Of what they should not do.
How to communicate.
Thanks, everybody, and keep talking whatever you're doing with people that you care about and get better at it.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.